A huge congratulations to Whalen Bay. They are the number one dealer in sales in the nation for Mako and Tahoe boats. How cool is that? Hey folks, Captain Kevin Faber here for Whalen Bay Marine, and I've been telling you for years how much I love the Mako Pro Skiff series. They're an absolute inshore fishing machine. But don't forget, they also carry tracker boats, Nitro Performance fishing boats, Sun Tracker pontoon boats, and Tahoe boats. Now you want some bigger news? Whalen Bay is now the dealer for Ranger boats. The new Ranger Saltwater Bay boats look amazing. Also Ranger Aluminum series and Ranger pontoons, which are perfect for fishing and just relaxing. So now, no matter what your boating needs are, Whalen Bay has you covered. And I can promise you that when you buy your new boat, all the folks at Whalen Bay will make sure your boat is rigged correctly and in a timely manner. You can do all this at Whalen Bay in St. Augustine, located at 845 State Road 207, or give them a call at 217-3778 or visit WhalenBayMarine.com. Whalen Bay Marine, your authorized dealer for tracker boats, Nitro, Sun Tracker, Tahoe, Mako, and now your full line of Ranger boats. And remember, every day is a boat show at Whalen Bay Marine.
Now, the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show.
I'm going to take you fishing, honey. You're going to love it.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Here to help you be the best you. Here's Captain Kevin Faber and Captain Scott Shank on 1010XL.
Good evening and welcome to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. I am a tired Captain Kevin Faber along with Captain Scott Shank.
That's me.
That is you.
I got a nap in today. What about you?
Well, actually, I did.
Beanbags are comfy.
Not, it's not like you're going to sleep.
No.
Now, Doug did, my buddy. But anyway, we went wahoo fishing today with Captain Ricky Papora. That's why Captain Ricky's not here. He's had 2 days of this in a row.
Well, because he had the only 2 days he could do last for the Wahoo shootout.
Well, he declared yesterday and didn't really catch anything. Caught a lot of fish. He had a 54 and a 48-pound kingfish yesterday.
Boy, but you see them coming up to the boat and all you they ain't got stripes on them.
And just the opposite. You know, when you're at Elk Bottom for the Greater Jacksonville Kingfish tournament, you're like, he's got stripes. So anyway, it was, I've had an awesome week with two of my most favorite people in the world.
100%.
Doug Wenzel and my buddy Travis Tabor. We had set a date, as in for this Tuesday, for them to come up to the property and fish for the day and, maybe speck fish. You know, brim fish, bass fish, whatever. And they were like, we're coming. I said, okay, come on. You know, Carrie and I were there, and I woke up on Tuesday morning, and it was 30 degrees and blowing out of the north. But the best part about it was is it was bright
blue skies,
you know. So they drove there, and they got there at 9:30, and here's the funniest thing. I've got the old Sunbeam white bread ready for shiner fishing. Yep. Oh, yeah. I got two rods rigged up, right? I got two rods rigged up for shiner fishing. I got two rods rigged up with rooster tails. And then I've got two rods rigged for shiner fishing. I got the rocking chairs down there. You know what I mean? I got the 5 gallon buckets down there for them to put their fish in, because here was the deal, is that I needed to relocate some of the smaller bass.
Yeah.
So if they caught some smaller bass, I was going to put them in those lower ponds that I have. Just so people know, I have a 5 acre pond on top of the hill, and as it drains over the dam, it drains into two smaller ponds that are about an acre apiece, and I've got too many bass and the big pond, so I need to relocate them. So I had at each of them a 5 gallon bucket. I'm like, if you catch a bass, or you know what, even if you catch a brim, put it in there and we're going to relocate it. So I have never seen two, and by the way, I'm one of them, all right, but two guys have so much fun trying to catch a shiner on a piece of bread. I mean, when's the last time you did that?
It's been a long time.
Exactly.
Picture Travis and Doug.
Yep.
Both of them snatch a hook like Bassmaster Classic. Uh-huh. So I can imagine this poor shiner just
the
like...
The first one went winging.
It
went winging, hit the dock, came off the hook in the water. And I'm like, good job, Trav. Great job.
Good job.
Yeah. So,
We spent the day. I actually took my pole saw, and I cut some casting lanes around the pond, around the dam and stuff, you know, so we would have other places to fish. And Doug and I, we went around, and Travis is like, I ain't getting out of this chair. I'm going to sit right here. And it was
His Yeti cup. One bucket was flipped over, so he had a
he went through half of the loaf of the sunbeam bean bread, right? And now the shiners are going, oh. I mean, you know,
it looked like Thanksgiving afternoon.
That old white bread is blowing up in their belly and stuff, you know. They wouldn't touch anything. But he ended up catching one. He caught one shiner, caught some really nice brim. The bait of the day was a beetle spin.
Really?
Yes. And actually, Travis brought that. And we caught. So we ended up, for the day, we ended up relocating 10 to 12 bass, probably 7 or 8, big brim. And we still had the one shiner. And it's funny. Look, you've live bait fished enough, okay? That sometimes you have that bait that just is like on steroids. He's everywhere. He's a good one, right?
And
the other ones are like, you know, what is that? Yeah. You know, sometimes you put that pogie on there and you're like, dude, you gotta go. Mm-hmm. Well, we had the one shiner that we had was on steroids. I mean, this shiner.
So he hasn't filled up with bread. That was the first one.
Exactly. Or he was trying to work it off. Yeah, right. One or the other. But we had this shiner on there for, gosh, Scott, an hour?
Really?
Yeah.
He lived for an hour?
And I was working him in and out of the cypress trees, you know? And finally, he worked his way all the way down the bank, and a big bass missed him. And I'm like, oh, man. And they're getting close to having to go. I mean, they've, you know, it's a 3.5-hour drive. And then the second strike, that bass got that big old shiner, and Travis caught his biggest bass that he's ever caught, and obviously we took pictures and stuff. So
yeah, what, eight and a half?
No. It was 4.5, 5
That's
pounds.
It?
Yeah,
Picture
looked
good.
Yeah, picture looks good. But then today, we went wahoo fishing, Travis and I and Doug, with Captain Ricky Papore. And I had to get up at 4:30, which I didn't enjoy.
When was the last time you did that?
You know, because even turkey hunting, Scott, I mean, I don't have to go very far, you know,
so I can get up.
No, exactly. You know, I mean, so I don't have to walk out of the house till 6:45. So 5:30, maybe 5:45, if I want to push it, have a cup of coffee, you know, and watch the sun kind of crack. When it cracks, I can walk out. But no, this morning I was supposed to be at Comanche Cove at 5:30, and I'm like, ugh. And I woke up, and it's cold.
It was cold.
There was no wind blowing.
No wind.
And so we take off, and I had all of my new gill stuff, you know, my cold weather gear. The only thing that I didn't take was a neck gaiter, you know, because that's the only place that the wind comes in is and I, dude, I made the ultimate rookie mistake.
You waited to pick the side of the boat before you left the inlet.
Yeah.
Dude, as soon as we push off the dock, I already know that the wind's out of the southeast, and
I knew,
why don't you sit right here?
I knew that Travis kind of beat me to it, I'm telling you.
Really?
Because there's only two bean bags, one port, one starboard, all right? I knew the wind was going to be coming out of the north this morning.
Yep.
Right? So old Travis, he just kind of slides down in that beanbag on that starboard side. And by the way, once you get in a beanbag.
Yeah, you ain't getting out. At least us old guys, you crawl up on your knees and you're grabbing the side.
Or somebody's got to grab your hand. So I'm like, all right. Well, we got about halfway out, and every 10th wave was right in my face.
You know? Really?
Oh, yeah. Cold.
You got soaking wet?
Well, I had my gill stuff on, but I had a heavy jacket on over that got soaking wet. Yes,
I'm just totally against I hate getting salt water in the face like that on the ride out.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, it's not even light, dude. It just sticks to you.
So you're thinking, man, I'm going to relax, you know. And I look over there and Travis is out, you know. He's not getting a drop on him. He's got his earmuffs on, listening to music, and he's done, you know. And anyway, so here's the funny thing is we ran 55 miles and – I was awake by then. The sun was kind of and I see Ricky come out behind the windshield and look, and I went, there's other boats. I can't see anything. I'm down below. I'm like, there's boats on the spot that he wants to go. And he finally comes down off plane, and I stand up, and there's 20 boats.
No way.
There's 20. At least it looked like LR in the summertime with no bait on the beach, and I'm not exaggerating. Not exaggerating.
Well, today was the last day. I mean, because
No, it wasn't.
It's till the end of the month, but I mean, the weather forecast long range.
Right. Crappy. Ricky said that, but I'm like, oh my gosh, you know. And so here's the interesting thing that half your day. Literally half of your day is spent catching bait, folks. So there's certain baits that will not live in a live well, and they're like, what? Yeah. So like a Spanish mackerel, if you ever catch a Spanish mackerel on a little spoon, and you're like, I want to put him out for kingfish bait. Well, you can't put him in your live well, because if he can't swim in a continuous line, he'll die.
Correct.
Okay. It's not like a pogey that will swim in circles.
Yep.
A Spanish mackerel has to get water through his gills. He has to swim in a straight line. But neither the same way. All right? You can't put them in a live well. Because as soon as they run into the wall, they lay sideways and die almost immediately.
That's why the tuna tubes are so tight, where you, when you stick them down in, the water's being forced through
right,
your mouth.
Right. And again, this is kind of a new fishery.
Yeah.
And tuna tubes are very expensive.
Woo!
Very expensive. So the gig is that you've got two guys throwing jigs for the bonita, right? Well, you've got 20 boats around you. And as soon as you catch a bonita, it goes straight to the guy in the back of the boat who hooks it up and puts it out to slow troll with. So you understand what I'm saying? You have to slow troll it right then.
Yep.
You can't do anything else.
You can't move to another spot.
No, you can't move to another spot.
There's 20 boats you
can't
up
throw
to
it in
there.
The live well. Nope. And move to another nope. spot. So. Anyway, we're going to stop it right there. We're going to take a break because, again, I learned so much today. But there was a lot that I already knew when it comes to slow trolling and things like that, which is kind of fun. All right, we'll take a break here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. When we come back, we'll talk to Captain Corey Sparks.
Yep.
Leon Dana is doing like the four-day celebration of his birthday tomorrow.
Birthday. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's off tonight.
Yep.
We'll be right back.
The Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Welcome back to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast. Thursday nights, 6 to 7. Captain Kevin, myself.
Yes. And with March Madness, sometimes we're...
And we're kind of screwy right now.
Yeah,
we're just going down right now, yeah.
Yeah. So, but
this time, I'm sorry, I'm just a basketball fanatic, I mean, college-wise.
It's fun.
And, dude, I love the next couple 2 weeks.
It's fun. All right, let's get Captain Corey Sparks up here. I need to finish my Wahoo story from today, Corey. Corey, have you ever caught a Wahoo?
No, sir. No.
Well, I'm going to, if Chris Stevens is listening, he's going to say, what? I'm going to tell you that I've never caught one. I've winched
really?
One in, all right? Because we were high speeding and it skipped across the top of the water and I never even took the rod out of the rod holder.
No.
All right. I don't consider that catching one.
No.
I got a kind of a picture with it, but it was like, It was like I felt dirty.
His belly is the size of big around as a 55-gallon drum as he sucked in all that water.
I felt dirty. Yeah. I was like, I don't feel like I caught that fish. But anyway, today's a totally different story. Right? Fishing with Captain Ricky Papour. So we're slow trolling. Live baits now. And this is kind of a new fishery, Corey. I mean, you're catching bonita and you're putting them on 90-pound wire with bigger hooks and anyway. So as we're going along, we hadn't had a bite in a while, and the prop wash bait goes off. And for some reason, Doug and Travis are like, Kevin, you go first. I'm like, okay.
Babes, we might not be getting a bunch of bites today. Right. I would have ran for that rod.
Right. I'm like, I'm on it, you know. And the first thing that hit me was it kind of made a kingfish run, Corey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm going to say 75, 80 yards. But then it turned around to come back to me. And, oh, my gosh. You better have some high-speed reels, brother, because he's coming back at Mach 10. I could not. I thought I'd lost the fish. And Ricky's wow. like, you ain't lost him. You ain't lost him. You ain't lost him. He's, you know, whoa, right by, you know.
Really?
Oh, my. Scott, you have no idea, brother. I mean, and by the way, we're using kingfish tackle.
Yeah, it's 30 pounds.
We're using Torium's, you know, 30 with 20-pound fluorocarbon. It's just a little bit heavier than kingfish mm-hmm. tackle. But yeah, I ended up catching that fish, Corey, and I don't know, 45, 47.
I'd say.
It doesn't matter. Wow. It was a good fish, you know.
Congrats on that. Ricky's been on tackle, for sure, man.
Yes, he has.
Now, let me ask you this. Yep. Where was the hooks at in him? So, did he eat the bait or did he snag them like most of our little
mackerel? No. The live bait hook was in his mouth. And then one of the trebles, because he uses two trebles.
Yep,
because
two trebles.
Yep. And the last treble was right behind the gills. So they were all in him, but the live bait hook was definitely in his mouth. And then for the day, it was funny. Next bite was a shark, which Doug did a great job.
What kind?
I don't know what those giant things
are. Oh, they're the big airplane-looking
yeah.
ones?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Sandbars.
Sandbars, and then Travis caught a beautiful shark. Uh-huh. And here's the funny thing, Corey. So I've already caught my wahoo, right?
Yeah, you're in a beanbag again.
I'm working the back of the boat because okay. Josh is up front the whole time trying to catch live baits, right? And then Travis is throwing the spinning rods. So we go back over to the spot eventually where I caught my fish. And all of a sudden, I look over and the rod goes, you know, and it's Doug's turn. Doug's on the bow. And he's totally assuming that the means it's a shark. He's like, Travis, go ahead. And Travis picks up the rod, kind of puts some pressure on it, dumps it.
Really?
Yeah, dumps it. And Doug's like, okay, I'll take it now. And Travis is like, I don't think so. And dude, here he comes right at the boat. Wow. Right by us. And Travis, very good angler. And he's keeping up with the fish and fights it. And I'm telling you, we're about to see the fish and hooks pulled.
Really?
Yeah, it was a big fish too. Yeah, exactly. And then we had one other fish on the prop wash bait. Come up, you know how the kingfish do, just back and forth, and he missed it two times. And I got the rod in my hand. I'm feeding him and pulling him, making him swim. Feeding him, make him swim. And he's coming at it and kind of stopped. And those were kind of the highlights of the day. But what an awesome day. I just think it's so much more funner doing it that way. I can't begin to tell you what a great job Captain Ricky Papour does. If anybody wants to witness this fishery, and by the way, because of the way they're doing it now, Corey, you could do it October all the way through.
Yeah,
I'm going to say at least April.
Yeah.
You know,
because I mean, it looked like the tuna bite was really good out there the last couple of days.
Yes,
a lot of nice tuna.
Yeah, absolutely.
that I saw with charter boats.
And by the way, Corey, these, you know, when I think about bonita, I'm thinking about beach bonita, you know, 4 or 5 yeah. pounders. These are little bullets.
They're little 1-2 pounders that we see skipping
out
there.
They ain't no 2 pounders. This is 3/4, 1 pounder. Yeah, these aren't.
I don't know if I've ever caught one that little.
I've never caught one this little, ever. Never. And by the way, they're using big mm-hmm. jigs.
1.5 to 2 ounce spoon. Diamond
yeah.
jigs.
And Corey, I had a conversation with Ricky about this because it's not the easy. Bonita are very hard to catch. Mm-hmm. They're yeah. very shy. And I told him, I said, dude, I said, I would go to like a 6-foot little stiff inshore rod with like 10-pound braid and a 1 ounce little diamond jig. So you could wing the hell out of it.
Yeah, because what is he throwing them with? Not really a tarpon rod, but like just below that. Just around 4,000 or so?
Yes, absolutely. You hit it right on the head, you know?
The jiggy rods would be the best rods.
Yes.
Well, like you said, 10 or 12 pound braid, and yeah. you can zing that thing with a 4,000.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm looking at what I would throw right there.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what you need to throw.
Our jigging rods, our carnage rods.
But anyway, by the way, they're all throwing the same rods, those 7 to 8 foot big spinning rods.
But again, like you said, if they're only 3/4 pound or 2 pounds, he ain't pulling no drag.
Oh, no. He ain't pulling no drag.
I mean, you could throw that little 1 to 2 ounce spoon a freaking 3/4 mile.
I think that there's some perfection there
I agree.
To be done. And by the way, this is a new fishery, Corey. You know, I mean, literally, I think there was a few fish caught on live bait last year. There was one boat today that was high-speed trolling. One boat. Everybody else is slow trolling. Which is cool.
Yeah. It's a whole new meaning to the word fishery now.
It was, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I know you're going to get text here in a minute because I'm going to say something. But it brings the sport back in the thing. You're doing 17 knots.
I mean,
wire line, and like the fish goes, eh, eh, next thing he knows, he floats to the top and he's skipping like
that's what I told you.
Like a ballyhoo.
Yeah. I felt dirty.
You know?
If you know, and you just sit, just leave the rod in the rod holder and crank it. That's not
no,
you know. And by the way, here's the deal, Corey. They're catching some giants on these baits, buddy. I mean, it's amazing how many wahoo are in our waters. It was quite spectacular. So what has been on your agenda? I know you've caught a wahoo this week in the Intercoastal or something, right?
No, just the up and down of Palm Valley. It's kind of sporadic. You know, the water temperature jumps up. They feed good. It drops. They're a little lethargic, but we're still seeing a lot of schools on the banks. I didn't fish today. I fished yesterday. I think I saw like 66.5 degrees in the ditch. The redfish were pushing wakes. We had a calm day when the tide got low. There's still some rat rads around, you know, in the creek bends and holes. And anything from a shrimp to a mud minnow to a chunk of crab. It seems like one day they want shrimp, one day they prefer a mud minnow. But we're getting mixed bags. It's not on fire, but you're bending the rod consistently, you know, a few fish here and there, hit another spot, and keep the day going like that. So, like
this morning, Corey, it was cold. I mean, it was 48 degrees, you know, and if I had an inshore charter, I'd be like, man, I really need to do this at noon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? it's because I do. But the problem with that is you're trying to coordinate time of day with your tide.
We still have to do that. We're not into April yet where I feel real comfortable to wear.
Exactly.
I don't get me wrong, Corey. Hey, the kids, if it wasn't going to be an weekend, the Spanish down off of St. Augustine right now inside the inlet blows your mind.
Yeah. And by the way, my buddy Roger went today, and he had 12 very nice Spanish, mm-hmm. and he said that he released a bunch more, and he said the flipping bluefish are ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's what I heard too.
Yeah.
And some big ones too.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
That's mixed in.
Yeah. And listen, Corey, if you think about. And we have to, right? We have to, so much of what we do has to do with water temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And this time of year, when it's fluctuating like that, whenever you launch the boat, you have to go, okay, I got 63, 64 degrees of water temperature.
Where do I start?
Exactly. Where do I start?
Yeah.
And Corey, if you have that, I mean, for me, I'm thinking creeks. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, getting in the creeks, little temperature change. Also finding in the creeks the little eddies with a little bit cleaner water. The water clarity can be great in one spot and just horrible, you know, across the creek or around the bend. So fish have definitely been staged up in those little clean rips, you know, water flowing past oyster bars, around grass corners, things like that, drifting a cork through or a jig head on the bottom. But yeah, definitely cleaner water, warmer water is working right now.
So you talked about one day they prefer a mud minnow, one day they prefer a shrimp, one day they prefer a float rig, you know, over.
Yeah.
So whenever you try to figure it out, if you've got two or three guys, do you have them throwing different baits?
Yeah, absolutely. If I got two, I'm throwing something they're not throwing or even throwing an artificial, just sneaking a cast or two into them. I've always said that this time of year, it's like the more options you can have, it just is so temperamental, in my opinion, day to day, that you can light them up one day. I think it was last week how we all called in last Thursday and it was on fire, and then they got, you know, they got lethargic Friday, and Saturday was slow for whatever reason. So, just keep the variety of offerings going until you find what they want.
That's what makes this job so hard. You know, I mean, because they're really, honestly, there's not a rhyme or reason to any of it. You know, even today, because this live bait thing for Wahoo is so different now, the water wasn't that pretty. You know,
it didn't look that pretty in the pictures.
No, it was.
It wasn't clear blue or no cobalt blue.
No. It was a blue green, more on the green side. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, all these guys will tell you that they're like, they would pull up to the spot and go, oh, this looks terrible, let's go. You know what I mean? They're trying to find that blue water, and now we're live bait fishing.
They're still there.
They're there. Yeah, yeah.
You know, it just doesn't look pretty to you.
That's my point. There was a couple years ago, Corey, that I'm telling you, Scott and I are on the beach, and the water had this weird green,
sandy as all get out. Like, it had like a lot of little molecules in the water. You couldn't see through.
And I told my guys, I was fishing with Ray Power, and I think Scott had some Valancourt guys, and I'm like, we're gonna make two or three passes here, and because this just doesn't look right. And about the second pass, I got out into like 42 feet of water, and the rod went off. I'm like, Scotty, I got one on, you know, and he comes out there, and we wore.
Oh, God, now we're back early.
It was ridiculous how many kingfish we caught. And we're thinking, in our minds, it doesn't look right, but it didn't affect the fish. No. You know,
but Corey, we do. Yeah. Kevin and I bounce off of one another when we're out there. I don't pull up to him. He doesn't pull up to me. Okay, we'll start.
Yeah,
I'll go to the picnic tables.
Right.
He might start at you know, at Serenata.
Right.
Okay, South Serenata, and we bounce. And then if I start picking up, then I'll say, "Hey, look, dude, I've had you know, I ain't had a bite. What about you? Well, I've had 7 bites in the last 10 minutes."
I said,
"Well, I'll be right there." And we dial them in. You get the water dialed in,
have to dial them in.
And once you do it, I'll tell you the biggest. I don't know, but I got so dang many GPS marks on that beach.
I don't know if it matters, but
every time I mean, especially now, Corey, the new part of the year, I'll whack all them off. I'll clear my GPS here in a little while on the beach, and then as soon as I start back beach fishing again, I start, you know, every time I catch a fish, I don't care if he's 5 pounds, he's getting his little star.
He's getting a mark. All right, buddy, we got to take a break.
Thanks, Corey.
Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Bye, buddy.
Bye, buddy. All right, let's take a break on the Repower Fishing Forecast Show with Captain Scott Shank.
That's me.
I'm Captain Kevin Favor. When we come back, we'll talk to Captain Chip Wingo. Be right back.
It's the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Power Fishing Forecast. We are here and alive and kicking.
Did I show you the wahoo I caught today?
Yeah, I saw the picture. You sent me the picture.
I'm just bragging.
I know you are, and that's fine. Yeah. I don't care. I'm good. I mean, I'm happy for you finally caught one.
I know.
And I know. Here we go again. I'm happy that you caught one that's kind of the right one.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
I mean, to me, any kind of bait fishing, whether you're, you know, if you're even pulling a planer with, you know, at 8 knots or 10 knots, mm-hmm. that's still, you know, I mean, it's still, like, is efficient.
Yeah.
You know? But, yeah, I'm sorry. I just don't like that. I've tried that high speed, and, man, getting thrown from one side of the boat to the other because you're working a ledge is just a pain in the butt.
I mean, I won't do it again. I mean, by the way, the guys are in competition, this, that, and the other, if they feel like that's the way the book. But I will tell you this. Let's bring up Captain Chip Wingo. Chip, the guys that were high-speeding today, high-speed trolling, mm-hmm. I didn't realize. I shouldn't say that. Man, when you look at them from your boat, they are flying. Flying.
Yeah.
Oh, they make mm-hmm. four passes around you in the time frame that you're going, you know, 500 feet.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this real quick. We have all, and Chip's, I'm gonna talk Chip into more kingfishing this year because he just needs
yes,
to do
he
it.
Does.
And he has a perfect boat. He can still kingfish. Why aren't they using their trolling motors? You don't think, I mean, they couldn't use their trolling motors?
For
and
what?
Be a little more quieter?
For
out
what?
There, out there.
For they don't go fast enough.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Yeah, they say swim fast.
Yeah. You got to. They'll swim underneath the boat.
Oh, I was just trying to think of a quieter approach.
Oh, I don't think. No, I'm with Chip. I don't think that the Wahoo care. I mean, they're.
I think that turbulence attracts them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because, I mean, I learned a lot in the last 2 years from the boys from Mayport.
Me too.
Coming down here and always seeing Richard Bloom was the big one that enforced me. Then Steve,
Cascio did it for.
Well, he was following
us too.
Yeah. But I'm just telling you, boy. Once it got a lot quieter.
Yeah.
You know, could finally turn the engine off, but always got to remember to crank it up every now and again because you got 5 bilge pumps running. And,
yep.
But that to me changed my whole outlook on kingfishing. At least on the beach, it did.
Well, it's totally on the beach, Chip, because you can set that trolling motor on autopilot, right? At 25 feet of water, and it takes you 45 minutes to an hour.
Yep.
To get east enough to where you got to turn around.
Nope.
And you don't have to touch the wheel.
No. The only thing that sucks, though, is when that wind starts picking up and starts bouncing around.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, you can't do it in a southeast sea breeze.
No.
But I agree with you. It's kind of fun to work the back of the boat without having to touch the wheel. And by the way, you can't do this with 50 boats around you either.
No.
You know.
Yeah,
hey, let me ask you both a stupid question.
Yes.
We know what north up means. Is north up? Then what it reads off the compass, or if I'm going east to west,
no, north up, up all it still? Does, north up, when you press the button, all that does is put you into autopilot.
That's what I thought.
So I still can use north up even if I'm going east.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
It goes.
Go ahead, Chip. You know more about this than I do.
No, I'm just saying it. If you point, wherever you point your trolling motor, when you hit north up, It takes, that's what the course it's going to stay on. So
see, that's a dumb
almost
because I thought it fell off the compass.
West.
It did not. It doesn't. So what is the difference between north up and autopilot?
On mine, there is only one button. I don't know why they do it as north up. I guess it's kind of saying
on mine,
it's,
I know I have track. Two buttons.
I don't. You must say, well, you got on the new remote.
Yeah, on the new remote.
Mine's still back in the 20th century.
Right. So you're saying that the your north up on your remote is straight, in other words.
Yes.
It's autopilot, yeah.
Takes
whatever course I put it on, it stays there.
See, that's how goofy it was, because I'd be rigging baits and stuff and still have them go, ring, 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 you know, I was trying to
You need to hit that one button that just takes you in the same line. Oh, okay. it's a game changer.
Yeah, 100%.
Because the worst thing in the world, Chip, is to have a sea anchor out. you put your big motor in gear. Obviously, for me, I always put the sea anchor out on the port side.
Yep.
And I can only get one bait out, maybe.
And you're running for the wheel.
Yeah,
and what is there?
The wheel, yeah.
Somebody standing right there.
Right.
Like, just get out of my way.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do. I know you love to tarpon fish as much as I do. But man, you gotta. Some days when you're running out there and it's not going on, bring a couple kingfish. All you gotta do is bring two.
Yeah, I'll give you all the rigs you
want. I've got them
dude.
On the boat
yeah.
at all times. So
okay,
I've got them on the boats, and I've got Scotty's rigs, and I've got a sea anchor, and you know, got a gaff and a bag. It's all on the boat.
I'll never forget the day as long as I live
mm-hmm.
when we all had all of us together. Chip, your smile so big when you caught that 30-pound mackerel that day.
Oh, that was awesome. That was a great fish.
Yeah. That was a great fish.
I was happy because we were letting it go, too, you know.
Yes.
That's one of the things I love about doing that.
I can remember you were like, Kevin, get the hooks out. Scott, you take the picture. Letting her go. Yeah.
And as the drone
was going in the water, yeah. Catch it, Scotty!
Oh, I'm sorry, but that's still funny. Yeah, me bumbling.
Oh, no, what was really funny is you throwing the net at daylight. That was what was really funny.
We need to
redo this.
Yes,
again.
Redo this the whole thing again.
And Corey would be a fun part to take part
in.
Yeah,
too. you gotta bring Corey in.
Because he's so quiet and boy, but I'm telling you, when you get him stirred, he's fun.
Yeah.
After listening to you guys talk to Corey about how he's been doing it down there, it's kind of the opposite for me up here.
Okay.
I've been fishing deeper water for my fish. And
when you say up here, give me
Jacksonville,
some not specific.
North of JTB.
Okay.
So I'm fishing from South Jack's Beach up to Mayport is where I'm fishing.
Okay.
I've been fishing
you.
Every day. So, but it's the water temperature was like 65, 66 today. The big blues showed up out of the rocks. The Spanish bank banking around. The black drums showed up pretty good. We caught one today that was maybe
it's
close to 9 pounds.
It is. Next beautiful. 2 or 3 weeks is just like for everything is awesome.
Then that jig head, Scotty, was on a 35-inch red today, and the jig head held
perfect.
Fine. It bent when I took it out of the fish. That's why I was sending you.
You
the
know
fish
the ongoing, or you know the ongoing fun we have with those all the time.
Oh yeah,
but I love your jig.
You can't pick
Scotty.
On somebody's no fun.
So.
I know,
but
well,
yeah,
you get free ones. Rob, Captain Rob Bennett's paying for yours the next time.
But it's been a good week. All of today. Since I just got back from Georgia again, but it looks like we got bad weather coming. Is that what I'm seeing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I mean, like, God, as beautiful as it is right now. I mean, they're calling for it to be like really nasty tonight.
They said when it gets to North Carolina, if it could condense itself in the Gulf, and the Gulf was warm enough, they don't know if this one wasn't going to be named Alberta. Swear to you.
Oh, my gosh.
I swear to you.
Oh, come on.
We're supposed
now.
To have 40 knot winds tomorrow here.
Client texted me asking me for fishing tomorrow, so guess we're not.
You're not fishing tomorrow.
No, it's going to be 40 knot winds and intermittent like squall lines is what's coming across.
Great. Googly moogly.
It's going to start about midnight, 1 o'clock this morning.
Huh.
Mm. Yeah.
Well,
so you know what? Sleep in.
Gummit.
You know,
man, it's
and,
just getting good.
You can listen to my fishing report with Jeff Prosser in the morning at 6:25 if you want to, and then go back to bed, whatever you want to do.
But, go down and clean my boat.
Tomorrow you're not fishing. And you know what? Saturday's kind of iffy too.
Saturday's iffy too.
So Chip, we got to take our last break, and when we come back,
we're going to
get a little more into the weather. Thank
Bye,
you,
Bye, buddy.
See you.
See you guys.
Yep. All right, like I said, let's take a break and we come back. Let's really look at the weather for this weekend because tomorrow's out, but let's look at Saturday and Sunday and go from there right here on the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show. Be right back.
You're listening to the Ring Power Fishing Forecast Show, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss on 1010XL.
Well, I'm glad that we went Wahoo fishing today.
You think?
Thank you, Captain Ricky Papore. And Seaco Charters, right?
Seco.
Seco Charters. If you want to book somebody to go live bait wahoo fishing, call him. It was a ball. I mean, you gotta have the right day.
He's a great teacher. He's a great teacher. But in that same token, when you live bait for him, I mean, you got to be in shape and you got to listen to everything he's going to tell you. I mean, we've caught plenty of kingfish and good kingfish and sailfish and all that in our lifetime around here. But ain't nothing matches 80 miles an hour, as you just were saying, when he come flying by the boat. Yeah. And, you know.
And by the way, it's for the most part, it's not a 7, 8, 9 fish day.
No.
You know, I mean, like seriously, like today, we went basically 1 for 3.
Right.
We pulled the hooks on one right at the boat, and then we had another one in the baits, which was just as exciting as, honestly, catching one.
Right.
It was, you see an 80-pound fish back there in the prop wash, all lit up, stripes. So don't expect to go out there. And by the way, if you charter somebody to go live bait wahoo fishing, that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know what
there's
I mean?
No switching gears.
Right. There's no switching gears. You're just going to have to.
You're not going to bottom fish. You're not doing nothing.
Right.
It's going to be what he's doing, because it does, like Kevin said, it's constantly changing baits, catching bait. It might take you 2 hours. I mean, one is a 2-hour run out there.
Right. Exactly.
And then there's another finding the baits and getting the baits and hooking the bait. I mean,
it might take
2 more hours to put the first bait out.
It's an art to it. Tonight, east winds 10 to 15. That has nothing to do with what's going on. Tomorrow, southeast winds 15 to 20. And showers likely with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Friday night, 15 to 20 out of the south. Saturday doesn't look bad, but there are plenty chances of rain on Saturday. They're calling for west winds around 10 knots. You may be able to slide out, pull some spoons for some Spanish, just that and the other. But they're still calling for 4 to 6 foot seas.
Mm-hmm.
So please be careful. And then it just, I mean, really goes downhill from there, folks. We've got a front coming through. North winds 25 to 30 with gusts up to 45 knots out of the north on Sunday. That's bad. And by the way, I am so glad that it's this weekend and not last weekend because I totally binge-watched the Players' Championship. You know me, how much I love golf. And it was an amazing tournament.
Because, boy, they've had some crappy weather before.
They have.
They finally got it in.
And March is a crapshoot anyway. Yep. We know I talk to Prosser about this all the time. I don't think anybody watches the weather more than golfers and fishermen.
Correct.
You know?
Yep.
If it's going to be crappy, I'm not going to go play golf. Nope. If it's going to be crappy, I'm not going to go fishing. But then it's going to get pretty, but the seas are not going to lay down. I mean, Monday, northeast, 10 to 15, 5 to 7. So nobody's going wahoo fishing for a while. Mm-mm. And the reason we keep saying that is because the wahoo shootout's coming to an end, and a lot of the guys have been holding back that last day so they can declare. What's that?
Today's full moon.
Oh, is today's the full moon? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I knew that. And by the way, it had been coming up in the daytime.
It's up. I mean, when I was coming up here to the house at 5, it was already – it's way up there.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
It was way up in the air.
That's funny because I was up at the property preparing for Travis and Doug to come up on Monday evening. And when I say Monday afternoon / evening, and I looked up and the moon was up.
Yep.
You know, bright blue skies.
There. Yeah.
So that's a good time to wahoo fish, is what they say.
Yeah.
And by the way, we don't know what came. A lot of people declared today for the wahoo shootout.
Well, hell, if there was 20 boats on one spot, you ain't even where they've been, and it's way up there to the
north.
That's
what I'm saying. We have no idea what's coming from the north.
Yeah.
So be interesting to see. By the way, everything's turning. It's all good.
Oh no!
The bluefish, the big drum.
Jacks are here too.
The jacks, the big bluefish at the jetties.
Yep.
I saw another charter captain today with just a ton of yellowmouth trout. Mm-hmm. So
the guys working the beach and the pier, the pompano's been showing up.
Have you heard of pompano?
Oh yeah.
Okay. By the way, the water temperature was 63 at the inlet today.
Yep.
On the incoming tide.
Mm-hmm.
So
the guys on the sand, I mean, I worked the bait shop a couple of days this week, and they a lot of really nice whiting, Believe it or not, black drum, a lot of black drum in the surf right now.
I've heard the whiting fish has been outstanding.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
A lot of really nice fish. You know, I mean, I could say, 13, 14-inch, a nice fish.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, like coming in today, we were at the sea buoy, and I was like, damn, Ricky, that looks, that water temperature, I mean, the water clarity looks terrible. And then we got a little closer in on an incoming tide. It was beautiful. When we got to the jetties at St. Augustine, it was like the Keys,
yep,
bro.
Yep.
It was absolutely beautiful.
Hope we don't get a lot of rain to change it, because, man, the fishing is just getting ready to fire off on them jetties.
I hope we don't get a lot of rain either. I'm with you, because we're in that transition area, the good transition.
It could
area.
Really stall it for a good period of time if it
dumps. If it dumps. All right, folks, thanks for listening to Captain Scott Shank and
That's
I.
That's me.
And make sure you listen to the Nimnik Outdoor Show Saturday morning, 7 to 10, with myself, Jeff Lockerman, Captain Kirk Waltz.
We'll all be there.
The whole crew will be there. Y'all have a great weekend. See ya.